strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise. shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Task to work out how to put the microphone on. It's been so long. It's lovely to be here this morning, and I'm just really sorry that you can't all be here with us. But I just want to say thank you, first of all, to all those people who have donated to our tech fund, because it's because of our tech fund that we can actually be here this morning and we can broadcast live, and we've come out of Nick and Jamie's studies and dining rooms and everything. So a big thank you for everyone who's done that. And we were actually really blessed a couple of weeks ago with a donation from the All Churches Trust for £5,900. And that's enabled us to, or will enable us to, complete everything that we want to do. So we're going to get more technology. Our projectors will look much better. And so when we can all come back, it will be a better experience. But more importantly, it will still be a better experience for those of you that are watching at home. But we do need some help with the tech. We're really short on tech people at the moment. So if it's something that you think you might like to learn once we've come out of this little lockdown, then get in touch with Jamie and we'll put something together for that. So we started some life groups last week. And I know a few of you found them, but if you haven't found them yet, they're all on Church Suite. So have a look or ask me what you can go to. And Jamie's going to be running an Exploring Leadership life group in January. And the purpose of this is to explore how Christian leadership differs from the world and how we work this out in our church setting. The group's open to everyone, so if you think you might have a calling into leadership, get in touch with Jamie and you can come along just to find out more. This is an essential component of our exploring our leadership calling. So all our leaders go through this before they and the church confirm that they're called into leadership. So do pray about that if that's something that you're thinking of. This week will be our coffee morning on Thursday, and all details are on Church Suite, or you can email me and I'll give you the Zoom login. And it's about this time in our service that we would normally be taking our offering.
With God the Lord Most High, hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want Jesus, you brought heaven down. Our sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring to praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and is the kingdom, yours is the cause is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring to the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. 'Cause yours is the kingdom. And yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful of this song. Amazingly powerful song, an amazingly powerful truth that it reveals. This is the good news, that our God came to us. He didn't want us excluded. He didn't want us separated from Him and His presence. And so He has done everything necessary to come to us. He has sacrificed Himself on the cross. He has lived a human life, known all of the pain and the trouble and the suffering that we endure, and so much more, and has not separated Himself from that suffering, from that darkness, but has placed Himself in the very middle of it and stretched out His hands and said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. This is our God. But the story doesn't end there, because as this says, death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Our Jesus is alive. Our King Jesus is alive. And sin and the grave and shame and suffering have no place. They have no hold. They have no power in eternity. And in our lives and all the things that we go through, the little deaths and the big deaths, the darkness and the struggle, we have this hope that the tomb is empty and that there is life beyond all of these things. I'm just going to gather the elements, and shortly we're going to be sharing communion. What we're going to do is, if you've got your bread and wine ready at home, just hold it ready. Shortly we'll be coming up to 11 o'clock and we're going to have a time of silence. I'm going to ask Julie to, at the end of that time of silence, I'm going to ask Julie to serve us here with with the elements, and you at home also can take those. But that'll conclude our time of communion after we've observed them in its silence. So I'm just going to take hold of the bread and the wine, and then share a few bits. This is an important time, and although it's something that comes around every year, it shouldn't lose any of its power and its poignancy for that fact, because this is a time that we have to reflect and to remember for everyone. And naturally we think of the people who have sacrificed themselves in wars and in military operations, but all of us can make use of this time to reflect and remember. To think about loss, to make space, to grieve very often. To think about the themes of courage and of sacrifice, and to be thankful, to honour those who have made those sacrifices, those who have given so much. And even more, as Christians, we can take this moment to reflect on the fact that these are the qualities. These are the things that we find absolutely exemplified and perfected in Jesus. And to remember that we are called as his followers to those same things, to set that same example, to live these things out in our lives, and through our lives, by the power and grace of God, not on our own. None of us can manage on our own. But through his strengthening, his grace, to be reflecting of these things, courage, sacrifice, strength through whatever trials and suffering life throws at us, and thankfulness, thanksgiving for those who have been in our lives or in our wider national life, especially now thinking through at this time of lockdown, the thankfulness that we have for those who give so much to serve others. May we be inspired by their example. May we do likewise in Jesus' name. We're just coming up to 11 o'clock, so we're going to take a moment of quiet. If you'd like to stand wherever you are, we're going to stand here if you're able to. If you haven't got any physical things that would stop you from doing that, then please let's just take a moment of quiet reflection.
to ask Julie to serve us with the elements. We reflect that Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body broken for you." Just as many grains go to make the one loaf, though we are separated by circumstances at the moment, we reflect that we are his body. We are the church. So take the bread whenever you receive it. He also took wine and said, "This is my blood shed for you, the blood of the new covenant." So we're going to drink this together in just a moment. And as we do so, we celebrate our Lord. We celebrate his coming again. We celebrate the hope that we have in him. All the freedom, the healing, the restoration that new covenant promises. So I'm going to shortly ask Nick to come up and share the message with us. But just before he does that, today's passage, the next passage in our study through Acts, has been read out by Woody. And Woody sent a video in, which is really cool. So we're going to listen to Woody reading out the passage for today, and then Nick will be sharing from.
I'm going to be reading Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 37. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand together and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against the Anointed One. Indeed, Herod and the Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke by the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his, but they shared everything they had with great power, and apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. They were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it in the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought money and put the apostles' feet.
Brilliant. I hope you all enjoyed that. Thank you so much, Woody, for doing that reading. So that was from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 37, which is a passage that we'll be exploring today. So this is all part of the Acts Now series. So hopefully the PowerPoint's up on the screen as well. Act Now. So we've been journeying our way through Acts, and we've had, I can't even remember how many sermons we've had so far, but the last three sermons have kind of continued on from each other in the same, following the same story pattern in particular within the early church movement. And this began where at the start of Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John heal a lame man. And then Peter shares God's great story, as Jamie shared a couple of weeks ago. And then also last week, where Peter and John had been arrested and then were released again and were sharing about that. So Jamie did the brilliant sermon last week of The Power and the Pudding. If you didn't get a chance to watch that, do go back online on Facebook or YouTube or on the podcast and do listen back to that. So this week, the start of the passage that Woody shared with us is a bit of a culmination of this small story within Acts. So the passage that I'm wanting to share from today has the title, The Three R's, Reflect, Reject, Resurrect. It doesn't appear that the PowerPoint is working. It should be on a tiny, tiny memory stick that is in the front pocket of my laptop bag. So if you go into the laptop where there's a laptop case in the laptop bag, I'm sure you're all really loving this commentary online as well. So if you go into my laptop case, just talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, that laptop bag. When you said a tiny laptop bag.
So as you can see, we've been working on the technical side of things. The sound, I understand, came and went a couple of times. Do bear with us. We're having to get our heads around a lot of different things at the moment, but I hope you're still able to enjoy the service from home. So when the PowerPoint does come up, it will have the title of the sermon, which is, as I shared, it is the three R's, where it is reflect, reject, and resurrect. And the reading that Woody just shared with us is where Peter and John return to their people and report what was said by the chief priests and the elders. And the people respond by praying. And the way that they pray is not just a list of prayer requests that I'm often guilty of, I'm sure many of us are guilty of, where we will go to pray and we will just have a load of requests to God. But they don't do that. What they do when they pray to God, apparently it's up, that is all good. So Julie, if you wouldn't mind getting to the point where reflect in the title is in bold. That should hopefully come through. So they don't do this list of prayer requests. Actually, what they do is they share their story. They share the story of what God has done for them, for those disciples, for that community of Jesus followers. So if we could have the slide come up with the passage beginning with, "You made the heavens and the earth." Brilliant. So they say, "You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen." So here, this group of Jesus followers are reminding themselves that the God that they follow is the God that brought the whole entire world and universe into being. And this grounds them. It reminds them of their place in God's story. And the Bible is actually filled with times where God reminds his people of their story, where they came from, because they simply keep forgetting. It is a theme that you see throughout the Bible where God's people continue to forget where they came from. And it's a theme that carries through to today for us as well, where we often forget our roots and how God has been with us the whole time. But if we were to look at the Bible, a story that stands out significantly is when the Israelites are in the wilderness. And time and time and time again, the Israelites, when anything hard happens, when they are struggling at any point during those 40 years in the wilderness, there are many times where they cry out to Moses, to God, saying, if only we had died in Egypt, wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? And obviously, if you know that story, you remember where those Israelites came from. It's easy for us to have that overview and to always remember that. Those Israelites came from real suffering and hardship in the hands of the Egyptians in slavery in Egypt. And actually, God reminds them of this throughout Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, where there's lines time and time again where it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And it actually says this, God says this in different ways, shapes and forms, directly or through Moses, 80 times across those few books. And these Israelites keep on forgetting that, but God keeps on reminding them of their story of where they came from. And we're often like that ourselves as well, where we tend to try, we just remember the things that we want to remember, the things that maybe fit in nicely, or the things that we remember that are hard, but actually we don't remember some of the other things as well, or we choose not to remember other parts of our stories or our stories and our journeys with God as well. So as we've been sharing this morning is Remembrance Sunday. And on Remembrance Sunday, people generally wear red poppies to remember. And you might have noticed, the keen-eyed among you, that I'm wearing a red poppy and a white poppy as well. If we could have the next slide. So the red poppy it's the Royal British Legion who produced the red poppy. And the red poppy, the significance of that is particularly to honour armed forces and particularly British service people as well. Whereas the white poppy, which was set up by the Peace Pledge Union in 1933, was actually to remember victims of all wars. So not just British, not just the armed forces, but civilians as well. And the white poppy, it specifically demonstrates a commitment to peace and to challenging any attempt to glamorize or celebrate war. So it is vitally important for us to remember the soldiers who died fighting to protect this country. And that's why it is really valuable to wear that red poppy and to remember. But it's also even more important, if we could have the next slide, to remember the full story as well, to remember all those who have been lost through war and those who are still losing their lives across the world, whether they are soldiers, whether they are civilians, victims of war. And it is really important to acknowledge the horror of war and that peace needs to shine through. So remembering and reflecting is really important. But actually, it's even more important to remember fully. So unlike the Israelites, where they would pick and choose the bits they remembered, we are really called to remember all of our lives, where God has been in the highs and in the lows. And that can manifest itself in different ways. But like we saw in the passage that Woody read to us, where the disciples pray together not to pray with simply just lists of prayer requests, but actually when we come to God in prayer, for us to ground ourselves in God's presence, to firstly maybe remember our day, which is an ancient practice called examine, where we reflect on our day, to ask where God was in that day, or perhaps to reflect on our week or our month or our year or even our entire life, to ask that question as we come to God in prayer and in conversation and in reflection, to say, where was God? Where has God been throughout my life? Where can I see the strand of God throughout different events in my life? And to remember your story and God's story intertwined together, because actually true remembering is to remember, to piece back together, to not leave bits out, but to remember as a whole. So when the disciples, when they pray to God in the passage that we read, they are remembering and reflecting on what God has done. And that is worship. That is what worship is all about. It is where we remember and we reflect on what God has done in our lives. When we sing together, when we pray together, it is thanking God for what he has done in our lives. But it should never end there. We shouldn't just thank God for what he has done, but actually to look ahead as well. And that's what the disciples do in that passage. They ask God to do it again. They ask God to help them speak God's words with great boldness, that God would bring healing and signs and wonders in Jesus' name. And then it says that they are filled, they are empowered by the Holy Spirit again. So for us, like with the white poppies, it's important to remember the past, but also to look ahead to change in the future, to pray for God to bring healing and peace into our lives and into the lives of those around us, and then for us to live it out. If we could have the next slide, please. So we've reflected on reflect, and now we've got reject. So the next passage that was read out is a really famous picture of the early church, and there are so many themes within that. But the themes that I'm wanting to particularly focus on, if we could have the next slide, is the rejection of consumerism and actually having an attitude of sharing and selflessness and generosity. So consumerism is, it's everywhere. Consumerism is in our veins. We're bombarded with advertising that feeds our materialistic tendencies. And consumerism is unsustainable. Apparently, if everyone in the world adopted a European Western lifestyle, we would need two planets to be able to resource that lifestyle. And America, a bit of a theme at the moment, but actually if everyone was to adopt, everyone across the whole world was to adopt the lifestyle, the general lifestyle of America, Americans, the whole world, we would need five planets in order to sustain that way of living. So actually the way that we live in our Western world, we are living consumer lifestyles that are not available to all and are not sustainable either. And consumerism, it has this massive environmental footprint as well, with air miles and carbon emissions and plastic waste. You may recall a couple of weeks ago I was sharing that some of us with the youth were going to be watching A Life on Our Planet, which is a Netflix documentary with David Attenborough kind of reflecting on his life across the world and caring for creation. And it was a really, really interesting documentary. But what was even more inspiring was when we reflected afterwards with the young people about what we can do to make a difference in this world. And one of the big themes that came out of that was consumerism. And actually, that for us to be able to live sustainably in the future, to protect the environment, to protect creation, to protect this world, that we need to consume less, that we don't need to necessarily cut everything out of our lives, but actually we need to live more sustainably as well. And we see this theme throughout the Bible, particularly in Romans 12, which are my two favourite verses in the Bible, where Paul says to the Romans, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." Really amazing passage there, but where it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. I wonder what Paul is directly saying there into that context, and what does that mean to us today as well? What are the things of this world that we need to reject? What is the stuff that is holding the world back from God's kingdom being furthered? And when we perhaps think about some of those things and the parts that we play in it as well, that's really hard, isn't it? It really doesn't come naturally. And we see this in the Bible as well. The passage that we're focusing on this morning, the next passage after that, that I believe Jamie's going to be focusing on next week, is Ananias and Sapphira, and where they actually kind of do the opposite, or they kind of buy more into the consumerism mentality and not the sharing and the generosity. And we'll find out what happens to them if you haven't read ahead. But it's hard, it's not easy. So even in that group of Jesus followers where it was saying everyone shared what they had, we then have a passage afterwards where not everyone is able to share what they have. And the passage that we are just reading now is a continuation from the first passage that we had this morning, where the disciples are calling for God to give them boldness. And actually, it is this boldness that we need in order to be able to reject things of this world that are not of God. We need to ask God for boldness in being able to combat those things, and particularly when it comes to consumerism. And as it also says in the previous passage, we're not on our own in doing this. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can help us to overcome this. So my final point for today, if we could have the next slide, is resurrect, the third R. So the passage that we've just been looking at, in many ways, it feels completely unrealistic, doesn't it? To share absolutely everything we have, to give everything we have to one another so that there is no one needy left, not to have any possessions at all. Maybe that feels like more is a metaphor of giving more rather than giving everything. And maybe there's some truth in that. Maybe that is what Luke is getting at within that passage, that it's not maybe completely attainable. It feels like a bit like it's got a bit of a utopian quality to it. But actually, what Luke is doing here is he's barring this, it being just a simple yardstick for measuring all forms of Christian community, which if we tried to do that, we would fail miserably. But actually, what this passage is all about is not for it to be read necessarily as a blueprint for today, but as glimpses of dynamic experiences by a community that is enlivened by God's Spirit. So these texts, this passage actually says less about model church practices and more about the dynamic power of God among believers. And how are these disciples enlivened by God's Spirit? Well, they are living in light of Jesus' resurrection. It says in the passage that with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So what does that mean? It means that the disciples chose life, chose new life, radical new life. And the resurrection, it was a relational event. God resurrected Jesus. Jesus didn't resurrect himself. So because of what God did for the incarnated Jesus, it means that we believe that God can resurrect us from our spiritual and physical death, and any death-dealing situations now and beyond. As Jamie was sharing earlier around communion, those little deaths that we experience, that actually what we're reminded through communion and what we're reminded through Jesus' resurrection is that death does not have the final say, but actually we are living in the resurrection of new life. So God resurrects us, but not just for ourselves, but for our fellow human beings. Jesus' resurrection benefits us. These disciples, they incarnated the power of the resurrection, where they let go of their old lives and were grasping on to new life. And the statement about how the apostles declared the power of the Lord's resurrection, that's connected to the showering of God's great grace upon the crowd. And all the believers were having access to God's grace, but it's actually the presence of God's resurrected grace that is actually expressed through the community providing for one another and providing for the needy among them as well. So if we believe in God as the one who can do the impossible and the unimaginable, then why do we hide behind the ideals of as unattainable? That's completely unattainable. We can't achieve that. So actually, instead, we hide behind that. We say things like, you know, in an ideal world, yes, that's how it would be. But actually, isn't that the point of believing in an ideal God who can assist us in creating and surpassing some of our ideas and ideals? There are parts of Bognor that are some of the poorest areas in the country. So what is our response as people of the resurrection? At the moment, we are in a second lockdown. How do we use the wonder of the resurrection to bring life and to bring joy and to bring hope to one another and to the wider community? To show people that death and hopelessness and despair does not have the final say. And we're also living in a world with climate change and plastic pollution and consumerism. How do we harness the story of resurrection and the new life that it brings in responding to these issues as a church community? Could have the last slide up, please. So we have these three R's: reflect, reject, and resurrect. And as I invite the band to come up for a final song, I would just encourage you here and online to reflect on those three words. To reflect, to remember, to piece back together God's story in our lives, to listen to other people's stories as well, and to see where God has been in them too, and to ask God to do more, and to reject, to say no to consumerism, to collecting more, and to look to fruits of the Spirit. And finally, to resurrect, to consider how Jesus' resurrection speaks to us today, and for us to be empowered by it so that we can then bring new life to others. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to hear from you today, from your word. And Lord, I really pray that we can remember, what you have done in our lives and look ahead to what you will continue to do in our lives. And Lord, may we ask for more. Lord, we want more of your life within our lives, Lord, so that we can share that with those around us. Lord, help us to say no to things of the world that do not further your kingdom. Lord, help us to be reminded of your resurrection life and how that new life can be brought to those around us as well, to bring life to them. We lift all of this up in your name, Lord. Amen.
For the throne of God above, I have a stronger, perfect plea. Great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid depart, no tongue can bid me thence depart. Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there, who made an end to sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. Beneath himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and Christ my Savior and my God. Hallelujah. Maybe wherever we are, we could just take this moment to remember that we are connected through the Holy Spirit, through the eyes of God, and share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you all. I pray that you'll have a really wonderful week as far as is possible in these circumstances, making those times, as Nick has been sharing with us today, to reflect and to ponder and to reject what we need to reject of the world's messages and voices, and also to remember that in that resurrection life, we always have hope. God bless you. Have a great week.